Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Maya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to six or seven figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. I'm really excited today to introduce my guest for the show, Sara Colada. Sara is an architect and a digital transformation expert. Her mission is to raise the financial well-being of architects through her project, Profitable Architect Online. She's also the host of Architecture Talk Tank, which serves as a platform for industry specialists to talk about business, marketing, and profitability in architecture, and a weekly show called Value of an Architect, which she runs together with Simone Degal. Sara is working with Architecture Academia both in the UK and in the US, helping them digitalize their faculty and move their studio culture online. Her work is a combination of personal coaching, masterminds, public speaking, and organizing and hosting virtual and in-person events, all focused on helping architects propel their careers forward. Travel is her first love, then architecture. So she made it her dream to be on the move. She follows her passions while working from her laptop. Currently, she is in Spain, Empuria Brava, Spain.
Yes.
Where her day involves a morning skydive, working, and evening beach strolls with her cat and her dog. Welcome to my podcast, Sara. And I'm also happy to inform everyone, Sara and I have been also worked together in a lot of collaboration through coaching last year. And I'm so grateful for Sara because she really has helped architect my life as well. So welcome. And today we'll be talking about business development fundamentals for architects. And I always say this, architects and creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run, grow, or scale their businesses. So Sara, welcome to the show. And just wanted to introduce yourself. What's your origin story and how did you start doing what you're doing?
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. It's always so lovely to see you, Aya. I feel such a connection to you and your business as well, and a huge supporter of what you're doing. So it's a pleasure to be here as well on the show. Oh my God, I just realized my introduction I sent you is so long. I do walk on the beach with my cat and the dog.
I didn't know cats walk on the beach. I was going to ask you that.
Out.
Also, cats walk.
I do take him on the leash. I don't know. He likes it, although, you know, I can't really dictate the pace of walking. Let's go back to fundamentals and business of architecture, which I know for both of us is a huge passion, and very happy to talk a little bit about it. Indeed, I guess the reason why I am doing what I'm doing is because of what you've just mentioned, that architects don't really get much education. And I found that out on my own skin. Firstly, when I went to do an internship in Shanghai, and there I kind of had a real experience of what it means to work in an architecture practice. And I guess my sort of vision of being a creative that can sort of not only work just on designs, but also mingle with clients and understand and get a little bit of an experience on all the phases of the building that's really where I kind of met the reality of what it means to be an intern. And unfortunately, I did work a lot on CAD and realized it's not my ultimate love and the glory of being an architect. So Very soon after, I started a charity. It's kind of, there's a lot of steps that led me to it, but I don't want to get too deep into it, but mainly because I was just wanting to make that dream happen. And I really believed in a better world at the time and sort of was following values related to humanitarian architecture and working closer to nature with delivering projects. And I guess I saw an opportunity of potentially building faster, delivering projects faster, because all in all, you know, the phase of delivering a project in architecture usually takes a really long time, especially when you work for huge practices on big construction projects. So somehow the humanitarian sector was offering what I was looking for: faster gratification, more hands-on experience, and also being involved in all the different phases of a project. And that's really what led me to Guatemala. And that's where I worked for 6 years, running an architecture charity and also doing private projects for clients. And it was tough because quite quickly, as we found projects to build, we needed a team. And next thing you know, I started to hire architects. I had an engineer that would help. I was mentored by someone who already was delivering a lot of projects in the area, and he was an architect and a good friend. Charlie Rundle, and then additionally just having builders. So next thing you know, my responsibility has just expanded into paying salaries on a monthly basis and having to manage office expenses and a lot of things. And in the same time, the money flow into the charity was rather small, and it was very hard to predict growth and actually plan for growth in these scenarios. And I don't think I even knew what growth meant, really, or business development, because I did not get any education in business at school. So I was intuitively navigating through everything and obviously made a lot of mistakes. I did. And I think at some point I just realized that, you know, even though I was head deep into these projects, I realized that I'm actually fairly young still, and I can still devote a chunk of my life into educating myself in marketing, business, and all these topics. And that's really what led me to studying what I'm doing now, which is more business and more digital transformation and online marketing. And this really kind of brought me to the States, where I took a bunch of courses. I went to a lot of conferences as well, some led by business coaches and some were only devoted to digital marketing. And this idea came to mind. You know, Charlie, who I mentioned, who is my mentor in Guatemala, he was an incredible architect. You know, he ran this practice and he was just such a master of his craft. But his website was really bad at the time. I think later on, at some point, it disappeared and you just couldn't even find his name online. You know, he just almost didn't exist. And yet, locally, he was really recognized and his projects were absolutely amazing. You could probably publish a book and put it right next to Simon Veles on a bookshelf, you know, because his projects were just like Simon Veles's amazing bamboo constructions and all that stuff. And so I thought about people like him, you know. I thought about all these architects that live their passion and they are so devoted to their craft and their work that it perhaps somehow this digital transformation and all these tools that bring us online and make us available and noticeable by others just bypass your attention because you're so focused on your work, especially if you're a sole practitioner or you have a small team and a little bit more traditional. That happens to a lot of architects. So I thought, you know, how many people like that might exist around the world that would be recognized only if they had a good website and a good communication strategy and some digital marketing, maybe grow a list to have some people that are subscribing to their newsletter, to wanting to find out what's going on in their practice, what they're working on. And that sort of idea led me to basically create an online course and now also help architects get visible, get seen, get this read.
This is great, Sarah. I have a follow-up question to that, and you're absolutely right. I was talking to an architect. He's in, you know, a friend architect. He's been working in the business for 40 years. And he asked me what I was doing. It was early in the year. I said, I'm project planning and creating financial goals for, you know, the year 2022. And I'm trying to create a roadmap for this goal so I can hit my targets. But I have a separate business. I do architecture support. he's a traditional architect. So I asked him, so do you have goals? Do you have business goals? And he, this is his answer. He's like, we don't, you know, I'm an architect. We can't predict anything. Everything is up in the air. We're transactional. Everything is day by day because the clients may or may not show up. So how do architects prepare for growth or even create projections for scaling or business development? So let's talk business development. I'm sure a lot of architects cannot plan for growth. They just don't know how. But I think this is where your expertise come in business development.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to, and it's really that point where I have to say it. It's an absolute lie that you can't plan for your growth, because every business, no matter what you're doing, whether you're selling lemonade at the lemonade stand or you're an architect, you can take control over who's coming through your door and how many of these clients are inquiring your services, because that's what marketing is for. And I understand that historically, especially in America, but also in a big part of Europe, marketing for architects wasn't legalized. And frankly, since it was illegal, a lot of people did not practice it. And so we ended up just not learning about it and not understanding the benefits of marketing. Now things are different. We live in a different era. Not only that it's legal to market, but also we have so many different tools in our bag to use for being able to put ourselves out there. And I wouldn't say that, you know, the most clever thing is to do things like organize local events to invite all your community, or which is like sort of traditional ways in which we see marketing for a local community's architects, or put leaflets or flyers through the doors. It might still work. And I know some architects are doing it even in London today. Some of my clients have done that. But I think that looking into how you can automate that process for yourself is very important. And first and foremost, before I even develop my concepts into these processes, I think it's very important to examine what you believe about your sales and growth. Because if you believe that you have no control over the customers that are inquiring your services, then you will put yourself in this sort of cage and say, oh, I'm just here to serve whoever comes and knocks on my door. But it doesn't work like this. You know, more people can come through your door if you put effort to be more visible and to basically attract or even be seen by the right people. And what I mean by it is, how many people visit your website and why? Have you ever wondered, you know, whether the 20, 30, 40, 50 or 100 customers, potential customers or viewers that go on your website, where do they come from? Is it because you've been published in a local paper? Is it because your name is, you know, very SEO friendly because you called yourself an architect near you or something like that, which frankly is what people type in Google to find architects, you know, an architect near me if they need an architecture service. So probably, let's be realistic here, what would help you? Good Google ratings, having a website that not only communicates your service and communicates it right to the audience that you want to attract, but also where it's really easy to actually contact you through it. So when someone lands on it, it shouldn't take them more than a second to find a contact us button or have a widget, chat widget installed, or just a button generally being very visible saying, email me, call me, here's my number, right? Those are basics of marketing, and you can do it nowadays very easily before you even spend money on a marketing person or whatever. Those are just logical things that you need to be visible and to be approachable and to be found fast.
And I guess this is really what you're an expert on, digital transformation. And this is, you know, a lot of people do networking events, you know, they golf and they do happy hours. But I think, I know, correct me if I'm wrong, you think that one of the most important aspects of business development right now is through digital media and in the digital space, correct?
I do believe that, yes. And yeah. I honestly tell my customers, and I think I want to make it very clear, that digital transformation makes life easier for you in the respect that a lot of those things can be automated. So something that we do is, first of all, we do look at how your website is performing, how easy it is to find you. Do you have reviews on Google, and are you popping in a Google search on the first or a second page at least, right? If you're not there, it's going to be harder to find you. So those are sort of the priorities, and those things can be solved with SEO. But then come other efforts. For example, there can, and those are very cheap and easy tools to acquire online. There are automated messaging systems that are available to open an account with for messaging your potential clients on LinkedIn. So let's just say you're working in a certain area of Ohio, right? And you want to tackle or find clients in a residential area around where your office is. It's very easy in LinkedIn to find people that are earning a certain amount of income, that are working in certain positions within that geographic location. So once you've got your targeting right, you can then start growing your network by adding those people into your LinkedIn. You can like their posts, interact with them, and send them private messages. And all of that can be done on automation. So you start growing that network and interacting with potential customers. And once they go on your profile, when it communicates clearly what you do and who you are, if they are in that life-changing moment where perhaps they just got married or they just got a child and they want to upgrade and buy another mortgage or buy land or build or whatever, get an extension, all that stuff, that's when they will perhaps want to sign up for your mailing list or start to follow you. And so to understand the process that a customer is going through and tap into it with different tools in the right moment, These are your digital sales. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about attracting customers online. And once you set it up, you don't actually have to control it or attend to it. It can be done on automation. And that's where the magic starts.
Did you hear that, architects? We all have to do that. We're also busy working on our designs and CAD drafting. A lot of firm owners still do all their drafting work. So I think it's time to, you know, there's an opportunity of digital transformation and automation that, you know, you don't have to really do things and spend a lot of time. You can just work with good consultants like Sarah to help you set it up. Right, Sarah?
Absolutely. So
let's talk about sales. It's hard. I mean, that's a problem for all creatives, you know, and that's like the dirty word in architecture, sales. Why does it matter? And how to do it right as architects, especially, you know, people are trying to be just so grateful that they have work coming in. We undercharge for our amazing services and talent.
Yeah, so I think that there are a few elements to it. First thing is obviously understanding the marketing. So I just give anyone an example. It could be an outreach campaign on LinkedIn. You can also do advertising via Facebook or Instagram or Google, where you actually put up ads and make them personalized, communicate what sort of value you offer, what exactly designs do you care about, and who is the ideal client you want to attract. But don't be shy about investing your money into it. If you have a good ad manager who actually is absolutely passionate in creating Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram ads, they will be able to convert a really good percentage on your ads. So, you know, maybe it's not going to be one to two investments. So you, let's just say you put $100, you come out with $200, but you definitely can get a profit out of investing in these kind of marketing campaigns. So looking into how to leverage all these social media to promote yourself, obviously have a presence, have a good website, and looking into communicating and expanding your circles deeper into new clients. So looking into ways in which you can get clients. But then is where the sales start, because the sale starts when you have all these leads coming in from all these different marketing efforts, and you can pick up that lead and actually talk to that person in such a way that that person will decide to work with you. And that's the magic of sales. And so in that moment, I think what's really important is that you know your product, and that you know, or you learn at least, if it doesn't come naturally to you, learn how to speak to customers. So understand their pain points, why they're coming to you, what do they need, and try to listen more than giving advice. Even though you're the expert at the table, it's a little bit like when you go to a doctor, you want to just be listened to at first because you trust that that person can help you. So understand a little bit those kind of principles there. And then also know your price. So I think something that architects struggle with a lot is really knowing how to define how much their time costs or a certain project costs. Like, yes, I understand that we need to go back to our drawing board and understand the value of a project someone's requiring from us to design, but have a more or less price tag so that when you have a conversation with your clients, you can give them an idea of how much it costs or that you're approachable and affordable for that particular client range. And so it's really good. And I think that's what marketing properly gives you, that advantage of being able to research your market and know what they can afford. So you're a little bit more prepared towards these conversations and you know how to price yourself accordingly to a certain market. Going too low is not always good, you know? So we have a huge problem in the market right now. The architects are competing with each other, lowering their prices, and that lowers your value. So that is not a great strategy for getting clients. I think actually learning how to sell yourself properly for the price that you deserve to get, or even upping your price and just working, putting your heart into a project in respect of over-delivering is probably a better strategy for your business to grow properly. So in sales, just to summarize, I think the most important thing is to learn to sell, understand what a sale is, and that it is very much so about understanding your client's needs and presenting yourself as a solution without over talking or over boring them.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And know your value as well. Extremely important. If you undervalue yourself, sometimes that will, or very often so, it will work to your disadvantage.
Thank you, Sarah. That was mind blowing, really. So I want to, if you were to give advice to an architect, what are the three things that they have to do right now? And to summarize what you just said, three.
I honestly mean it from the bottom of my heart, and not because I'm a coach and you know, my advice that I'll give is somehow looping back into get a coach, but I honestly mean it. You will not ever achieve the goals that you think you can if you just do it all by yourself, because without having you can't know what you don't know. You just can't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And you need to have someone who's got the experience from where you want to go to show you the way. So get a mentor. I honestly mean it. Get a mentor. I think, and it really hurts me, that in architecture, we are so resistant to working with mentors after we finish education, which really the university doesn't prepare us for business. How else are you supposed to know what to do, how to do it right? And you can't tell me that you instinctively can run a business, whereas, you know, to obtain business knowledge, it's yet another degree. So I don't mean for you to go and study business, but I mean get a business coach, get an entrepreneur who's done it before, who's successful. Like Ayas, she's coaching as well architects, and she's successful with her business. You can see this success rate, and you can see this, you know, the way in which she's been able to do it for her business, and you know that she can help you too. And there's a lot of people like that can help, and they don't necessarily need to be within the architecture industry, but become open to being coached. It's the number one most important thing. Look at yourself as a person that can become better and work on being better, you know? That's, I guess, what I mean. And then what follows is just don't be afraid of sales and try different methods of selling. Not every method will work for you, but the more methods you try, you will find that some of them work really well for your business. And yes, it's a myth that architects don't sell. The best practices do sell. And then lastly, it's, you know, just find some time for yourself as well. Enjoy your family and enjoy your life. Do not overwork. It's not healthy for you, for your autonomic system. And
I like that.
Yeah, it's not good for your life. And looking back, you're probably going to regret that you haven't spent enough time with your family, friends, and loved ones, and you haven't taken that holiday. So yeah, do take breaks.
That's why Sarah and I get along. My podcast is called Architect My Life, Architect My Freedom.
Exactly.
You design your life, but you also design your freedom based on your passion. And I really believe that if you take a break and walk away, then all the ideas come in eventually.
Absolutely.
Because if you're always working, there's nothing that can enter your brain. And hiring a coach, for sure, number one, that's important. So to summarize, hire a coach. Don't be afraid of sales. And lastly, take care of yourself personally.
Yes. Absolutely. Three top things.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sarah. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I'm really looking forward to where you'll be in the future. Sarah is making waves all over the world, not just in the US, but globally. So watch out for Sarah Colada. She's a person to know, all architects and entrepreneurs. So where, if people want to find you, where can they find you and where do they connect with you?
Yes. So I think the best thing is to either find me on social media or just go to my website, which is sarahcolata.com, Sarah without an H and Colata with a K. I have a few publications that you can all find on my website, but also Sarah Colata on YouTube. I've got a channel and that's where I stream regularly interviews and podcasts. I has actually been a guest on my podcast in the past, and that was really an awesome conversation that we had as well. So you can catch up on that old episode. And and I think it's great to connect also on LinkedIn. So I invite you to write me a message even if you wanna talk. I'm really open to that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah. And I really enjoyed this conversation. And I'm sure all of our guests will too. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Aya. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_Architect My Life. That's Aya, A-Y-A, _Architect My Life. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.